Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 144. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Take a moment, pause this podcast, leave us a five-star rating, leave us a review wherever you're listening to this. If you do leave a five-star rating and review, I'll definitely shout you out and read your review on the show. So I definitely appreciate it in advance. And I thank you for your support. If you are on YouTube, definitely hit the like button, subscribe, share with a friend, all those things. Doing all those things helps us go up in the rankings, helps us to reach more people and spread this important message all over the world. All right. So another solo episode today. We're going to talk about how I almost lost $75,000 by buying the wrong house. As you guys know, I am a long distance real estate investor. I live in California. I invest in Ohio, and I'm currently pretty aggressively looking for more properties to add to the portfolio. And I'm all about transparency as well. So I'm going to be very transparent as I tell you about this experience and how I almost made this huge mistake. All right. And I was under contract for a new property and I canceled the contract because of some things that were found in the inspection, some things that I wish I had caught ahead of time, but the inspection helped out a whole lot. And so I'll explain that a little bit later. And before I get into anything, the main lesson I would say from today's episode will be that it's important to know what kind of investor you are. And what I mean by that is it's important for you to know whether you want to be a long distance investor, whether you want to be a local investor, whether you want to invest in properties that require rehab, whether you're looking for more turnkey properties like myself. It's very important to know which side you're on because it's going to inform your entire strategy, the things you do, the things you don't do. You need to know if you want to be a single family investor like myself, or if you want to get into multifamily. So I'm a turnkey investor. And the reason for that is because I don't have the time to manage rehab. I did have to manage a rehab in the summer of 2021. I learned a whole lot. And I also learned it's not for me. I'm looking for just the immediate cash flow. I got way too much going on to chase down contractors and get permits and all these kind of things. And that's just me. I'm looking for a certain amount of cash flow. I'm looking to do the absolute minimal work for the property. And that's a big reason why I backed out of this deal, but we'll talk some more about it. All right. So like I said, I'm going to walk through different parts of the inspection. And an inspection is actually something that I highly, highly recommend that you get if you're under contract and about to buy a property. And the reason for this is because it can really show you the issues with the property, some things that you may even ask the seller to fix, or some things that can help you to negotiate a lower price for the property if you don't mind doing some of that work. And in some cases, you know, the seller might do some, you might do some, and there are just a different number of different ways that you can use the results of the inspection in your favor. And in some cases like mine, it can also help you walk away from the deal altogether. And it's important to make sure as well, in your purchase agreement, you need to have an inspection contingency. This will enable you to cancel the deal if the inspection is not satisfactory. So very, very important. All right. So like I said, I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to literally walk you through at a high level, certain parts of the inspection that caused me to walk away from this particular deal. So this property had a deck on the first floor and they pretty much had something similar, like a balcony on the second floor. When my realtor did the walkthrough and the way I do the walkthrough, since I'm out of state, is I FaceTime with my realtor. She pulls up to the property. She goes through, checks on everything. And I usually record it so that I can look at it afterwards. The interesting thing about this particular property is that we didn't have access to the second floor balcony. Something was wrong with the door. And so we asked the sellers about it. And the seller said the inspector can unscrew the door if he wants, but there's no other way to access it. So he did that. And interestingly, that was like one of the worst parts of the property. So the railing was not installed properly. The wood was deteriorated. It was loose. It was eroding. It was just not in good shape. And quite frankly, somebody probably could have fell through there if there were enough people on there. It just was very shaky, not in good condition. And that was one of the first issues. And I also thought it's pretty interesting that we weren't able to access that part of the property during the walkthrough out of all places, which I found incredibly interesting. And so that was the balcony. The balcony was a no-go. It was just a nightmare. You know, I even saw in the pictures, he was showing me just how terrible the condition of it was. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be responsible for somebody falling over, falling through that particular part of the house. So the next issue was the roof. All right. So the roof, the structure of the roof was deformed. A lot of the shingles were loose and lifting and damaged. Some of the shingles were even missing. There was like moss, and it was just in bad shape. The roof was very worn, and, you know, roofs are expensive, and that's not something I'm trying to have to worry about. You know, if I buy a property, I'm not trying to worry about the roof for like 10 years or so. And, you know, for me, I just wasn't comfortable buying a property that required a new roof. Like I said, I'm a turnkey investor, and I understand being a turnkey investor, you most likely are not buying properties with equity. You're buying properties at or close to the market rate, but I don't care about that. For me, it's all about the cash flow and building my cash flow over time. I don't want to manage rehab. And I know that about myself. It's important for you to know what kind of investor you are. Now, I know plenty of people who I can text right now who would gladly take a house that they just need to put a roof on and fix the balcony and fortify certain issues. And that's totally fine. You got to know what works for you. Neither one is wrong. It's just different strategies for different people. So we'll get into a couple more of the issues. So the structure and foundation, there were a number of issues. So the floor was sloping in different areas of the house, even on the stairs. So when the inspector was in there, he could tell that it was uneven, which means that there's some issues with the structure of it. And a lot of the framing was shaky. There was issues with the framing. And something else that he picked up is that a lot of the repairs structurally in the property were not done by qualified professionals, because there were a lot of mistakes and a lot of things that just were not up to standard. And, you know, I remember looking at some of the pictures in the basement and some of the wood, just the placement of it on the walls. And it just looked crazy. And I really wish that I noticed these things during the walkthrough. But, you know, that's the good part about the inspection, is that you're able to catch all these things. And this inspector I've been working with for over 3 years now, and he is fantastic. You know, he has inspected a couple of properties that I didn't end up buying because of him, because of the things that he was able to realize. And the interesting thing as well is that in the inspection itself, here's what the inspector said. He said, based on these observations, much of the structural framing in the building has been compromised and needs immediate replacement. The improvised repair attempts with beams and posts supporting severely decayed framing in the basement are considered inadequate at best. That fact, combined with apparent unprofessional modifications of structural support walls on the main floor, have resulted in significant structural concerns. Now, as a landlord, that's not something I want to have to worry about. I don't want to have to worry about a suspect structure in the property and the safety of the tenants who are living there. And what this says to me is that this seller did a lazy rehab, or maybe they didn't know what they were doing, but for the price they're charging, this has way too many issues. And I was going to save this to the end, but this seller, when I came back with this whole list of stuff that needs to be fixed, the seller's agent said, would you consider this property at $55,000? I didn't ask for a lower price. They offered it at $20,000 less. So what that says to me is that it probably should be even lower, but they understand and probably recognize that what it would cost them to fix all of these major issues would be more than if they just discounted the property by $20,000. And so, you know, I thought that was very, very interesting. So next up is the windows. A lot of the windows were loose. They weren't properly installed, and there were gaps in between them. And again, the inspector realized and made the observation that it was probably not a qualified professional installing these things. And, you know, you might be thinking, Sam, how in the world did you miss all these things during the walkthrough? Didn't you ask your realtor to make note of these things? Like, didn't you ask her to look at these things? Excellent question. I'm going to get to that very, very soon. Stick around and I'm going to tell you exactly why. So let's take it to the outside. So the roof, gutters, and downspout section. So the roof drainage systems were very damaged, were not in good condition. The downspouts, some of them were off, some of them were loose. The gutters were clogged, but that's an easy fix, fixing the gutters. That's pretty minor. And he also made an observation about where the gutters discharge. They discharge onto the roof. He said it's standard, but not necessarily recommended. It's common, but not recommended. something else on the outside. So the stairs were settled. And what that means is that they were kind of in the ground a little bit, if that makes sense. Like, kind of imagine you have a stairs, new installed stairs, right? And they're sinking a little bit. That's kind of how it was. And it also was slanted a little bit as well. So the stairs were pretty uneven. The challenge with that is somebody could trip, somebody could fall. Who's going to be liable? Me, right? So that's something else that I was thinking about. And the handrails, they were also too low. Somebody could potentially fall. This is the Midwest. There's winter, there's snow. Somebody falls, who are they going to call? Who are they going to blame? Who might they try to sue? Me, right? So it's important for things like that to be installed properly. And the front porch, there was some deterioration. There was some damages. And also the vinyl, this vinyl siding, it was loose in some areas. And that, the risk of that is like water can get into it. And so, you know, those are some of the issues that were taking place on the outside. When he went into the basement, the water heater, the bottom of the water heater was very rusty, very, very rusty. And it looked like there was probably some type of flood, some flooding issue there. And so he flat out said, this system should be considered unreliable. There was also a stain underneath the kitchen sink where it kind of looked like there was maybe some water damage, right? And lastly, telephone wires. There were trees like caught up in the telephone wires. That's obviously not a good thing. You know, you probably want to cut those trees. So as you can see, there were quite a lot of issues with this property. And again, I'm going to reiterate, some of these things may not be an issue for a lot of investors, right? It's nothing. You get your team, you got your guys to come in, get the work done. You buy the property, undervalue, you negotiate a lower price, and you figure it out. I need something ready to go. That's just where I'm at right now. I got too much going on to be managing a rehab from 2,000 plus miles away. And so ultimately, I decided to pass on this particular property. And I realized that I need to be more thorough in my walkthrough. So what I did was I created a checklist. I just used the inspection to create a checklist of what we're looking for in every single section of the home. And I did a walkthrough of another property virtually with my realtor last week, and we went through that checklist. And so I feel like I know a lot more about the property, and I can decide like, hey, do I want to see if the sellers want to do something, reduce the price, or can they fix this and that, or what they know about it before even getting the inspection, right? So once I'm definitely going to create that checklist in a more organized way as a resource for you guys. But, you know, did it cost me a couple hundred dollars to do the inspection? Yes. And the upside of it is it helped me to create a checklist, right? I'm getting back in the game. It's been a couple of years. And so I'm glad that I was able to go through that experience, because now I can help you guys out. Now I can help y'all out. So, you know, look out for that resource. And I'll definitely look forward to sharing it with you all. But the main lessons from this is, one, need to have a great team. You know, I have a realtor who I'm working with, of course. I also have boots on the ground. I have, shout out to Courtney, I have somebody out there, another investor. Anytime I'm looking at a property, I'll text her. She'll go drive by it, sometimes even FaceTime me, take pictures, make observations about the neighborhood, make observations about the exterior of the house. And that's what I did with this particular house. And that's what I did with the house just a few days ago that I saw as well. She drove by it first, and then I sent my realtor out and we did the walkthrough so I could see the inside of it as well. So it's important to have multiple eyes on things. You know, by the time the inspector got to this property, that was my third set of eyes on this particular property. But the good thing is now, because of this checklist I created, we're going to be extremely thorough in our walkthroughs so that I can make quicker decisions and decide if I want to go forward or not before even getting the inspection. And the last thing is I have a great inspector. This guy is incredibly thorough. Everything comes back to me in less than 24 hours, very well thought out, and it gives me the information that I need. So the other lesson I want you to know from this episode is it's important to have a team, whether you are investing locally, whether you are investing out of state. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that you should be trying to do on your own. There are people who have expertise in different areas who you can learn from. And so I highly recommend that you leverage all of those folks in your network. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. Like I said, you know, I like to do these solo episodes sometimes so you can see how I'm doing in my journey. And I'm an open book. I'm fully transparent about everything that I'm doing. So I was definitely looking forward to walking you all through the inspection, and I'll probably put some content out so you can see more specifically. And once that checklist is ready, I'll have that available for you as a resource as you're looking through properties, some things that you should consider as you're walking through and checking things out so you have a good understanding of what's going on before you even get an inspection. All right. So with that being said, I appreciate you all. Definitely please make sure you leave a 5-star rating. Make sure you leave a review. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell, all those things. You know the drill. Also, definitely make sure that you grab our merch. Our merch is available. Click the link below in the show notes or the description to shop our merch while supplies last. I'm very excited. Orders started going out this past week, which I'm very, very excited about. And so I'm looking forward to offering to providing you with some merch. And as you know, all the resources are down below. All the courses, guides, ebooks, etc. are down below in the description, in the show notes. So without further ado, I look forward to hearing from you all soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.